This is the Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live from the KVNT studios in South Central Alaska, USA. Live and local 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on KVNT 1020 a.m. and 92.5 FM. Your best source for morning news, traffic, and weather. Streaming live online at TomAndersonShow.com. Phone lines are open. Dial 907-357-5868. That's 357-5868. Politics and news from a guy who's made it happen. Your morning drive just got a whole lot better. Good morning, America. Here's Tom Anderson.
Well, we are back. Good morning, everybody. 8:06 a.m. on a Thursday. Now, I was a state lawmaker for several terms, and I was there when a lot of different caucuses were forming. And I remember sometimes I raised an eyebrow because I thought, hey, rather than have a bunch of differentiating, contrasting caucuses, why don't we work together in the caucus in the House and Senate, Democrat, Republican, rural, urban, and not fracture it, delineate it, differentiate with these caucuses? Lo and behold, Ivy Sponholz, who's been on the show, Sarah Rasmussen, who's been on the show, they've formed the Women's Caucus again. They've dredged that back up. And I don't think it's necessary to have that, especially when we have women leading. I mean, we have a female speaker. We have so many leaders, House Finance leadership on both sides. Shelley Hughes as the majority leader on the other side. And we've had many women leaders. And we've had a female governor. And I just am a bit frustrated with this personally. And I love your thoughts. I'd love a female's thoughts. Do you think it's important to have a woman's caucus in the legislature? I just worry. And Sarah listed in her floor speech kind of the positives of women and how great women are. And I'm a feminist. I know that sounds funny. I mean, I love women, strong, thoughtful women. My mom was one. My grandma was, both grandmas, Elizabeth and Bertha, dad's side, mom's side, very strong business owning, you know, leading the family, doing very well. And I embrace that. But I think at some point we need to move on and not have these types of groups that suddenly make someone else feel awkward, you know? Like imagine a male colleague walking by, excuse me, we've got a woman's caucus going on, please shut the door. I mean, that doesn't feel cohesive to me. Now, Must Read Alaska, Suzanne Downing always poking the fire to see what she can get for readership. And in this one, it's a Zach Fields moment, sexist joke, saying that he's a hypocrite. And I think he is. I think it was inappropriate what he said. I'm actually shocked, Rick, that he would. He said it. We'll play the clip. But basically, the gist of it is he's like, hey, happy birthday. I don't know if you know how that works, but if you watch Gavel to Gavel, a colleague can give a birthday. It used to be Richard Foster. He'd go through a really funny history or rhyme or story about you. He was from Nome, great guy and friend of mine, and passed away a few years back. But he would be the poet laureate on the House floor for birthdays. If you had one during the session, I never did. Mine was in August. But now someone would be chosen, it sounds like, to give a birthday wish if your birthday falls upon a legislative session day. And so Zach Fields quoted from an email hinting about Sarah's looks and skirt and this and that. And of course she eyelash flutter and, you know, blushes behind her mask. And it was a cringe factor always to me, but Rick has that clip. And I do think it was inappropriate. I don't know what he was thinking.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Permission to speak on a birthday.
Permission granted.
Today, February 24th, is an auspicious day in the House because it marks the 31st birthday of our colleague from Sand Lake. Whether you agree or disagree with her on a given issue, there's no doubt her strategic instincts and ability to plot force strategy are far more advanced than her age. In addition to gracing us with her presence, we're lucky that her husband Alex and children Grayson and Charlotte are able to relocate to Juneau with her for the session so we can all spend time with them. However, despite her skills as a legislator and loving spirit as a friend, I have recently become aware of a problem caused by the representative in her home district, a problem related to the risk of automobile collisions in her neighborhood. Permission to read, Madam Speaker.
Permission granted.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And to be clear, I'm reading from what one of her constituents wrote, and I quote, Sarah can wear a short skirt in Anchorage and stop traffic once the spring clothes can be worn, end quote. Madam Speaker, I know we all share this voter's concern about traffic safety, particularly in a neighborhood like Sand Lake, where so many children walk to school. Furthermore, I know nobody in this chamber would be so judgmental as to condemn a colleague for just being as the good Lord made her. Nonetheless, this being her birthday and having her concerns about safety in her neighborhood, I wanted to let my friend from Sand Lake know that her colleagues and I have teamed up to purchase her a pair of sweatpants that she can wear when she returns to the district this spring. It's the least we can do for the safety of her residents. Happy birthday to our dear friend.
Man.
He's just trying to make a joke, I guess.
Yeah.
Didn't think it through? I'm not sure.
I don't know. So in other words, he's saying, hey, you look good in the skirt. Somebody said you look good in the skirt and you stop traffic. You're attractive. I'm going to buy you sweatpants.
But it was like in part of what you were saying earlier about your former friend Foster, who would, you know, speak eloquently on somebody's birthday.
He wouldn't do that.
But it sounded like that was Zach's way of just bringing in something funny.
Yeah, I think it was not egregious. I know he meant well. I know Zach personally, and he's not the type that harasses people. He's not. But I'm just amazed that it's him. You know, it's like a Matt Klayman or a Les Guerra or a Hollis French on the Democrat side. Although after the Ethan event, you don't know. You just don't know with people. Just don't.
Here's my guess. This is purely speculation. I didn't watch it live. I'm thinking last second. Somebody says, oh, hey, we do have a birthday. Would you mind speaking on it? And he scrambles. Maybe that's the first thing he could come up with that would be semi-funny.
Maybe.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It was a little odd.
Yeah, it was.
That would be more appropriate for a roast.
I love roasts. One of my favorite comedy niches is roast. I literally watched the roast of Chevy Chase last night, who I've watched interviews about him. Complete a-hole, Chevy Chase. Nobody likes him in the industry. Nobody. And he's a prima donna, arrogant, nasty, mean, racially sexist, misogynist, everything I've heard. And so they ripped him a new one, Friars Club, before we got to Comedy Central roasts. And Greg Giraldo and just everybody, it was really good. Hosted by Paul Schaefer. He was the MC. I've seen Paul Schaefer and David Letterman.
So Schaefer was the guy who played all the music, intro, outro.
Correct.
He was the co-guy. Over
yeah,
the
he
side.
Was the band director for Letterman. And I watched, Lisa and I went to the David Letterman show. I'll never forget. And who was on? What's the guy that's on, not Ice Cube, but there's another one that's on, big black fellow in good shape. And he's one of the stars. He's a cop.
Ice-T?
Not Ice-T and not Ice Cube. It's the third one. LL Cool J.
Oh, yeah.
He was on.
Ice threw me off.
Yeah, he was on, and there was a few other cool people. I think the guy that could have been a redneck, Jeff Foxworthy, was on.
Oh.
And when we went, and it was free, but couldn't have been on Letterman as audience member for a year.
Okay.
And we applied and got in.
Nice.
It was very fun. Okay, we're going to come back with some Fauci moments. He's going to talk about what's happening with variants, and this Brazilian one seems to be really pesky, and people are getting it, and are the vaccines covering it or not? We'll find out. That's next up right here, Tom Anderson Show.
This is the Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live from the KVNT studios, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday.
Say your prayers, little one, don't forget my son, to include everyone.
18 minutes after the hour, little Metallica. This is Iron Horse, right?
That's right. Iron Horse covering the Enter the Sandman song.
Oh, man. Well, enter the new variant of COVID. Welcome back, Tom Anderson Show. We are on 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. This is going to be our 10th year come October 1st. So we're so happy if you're a new listener. Remember, online, TomAndersonShow.com, we have the podcast. You can check that out right on the homepage, TomAndersonShow.com. You'll see, listen to our podcast, and you can click any of the past shows. And then also YouTube, Tom Anderson Show, and Facebook. Facebook is a particular one I think you should follow. We're almost at 14,000. And when we have certain fun, salacious, good, interesting, yummy, tourism stuff, food stuff, drinking stuff, we post it. And so I encourage you to go to the Facebook page. You know, it's not a moneymaker. It's more of a please follow us because Rick and I are busting butt to get you some entertainment and some news and everything else. Here's one. Rick, before the break, you found this clip, and it's this pesky variant. I don't know if they say it's a Brazilian or an African one. It's from a third world area.
Yeah, there's a couple of variants, or three actually, the UK, Brazil, and South Africa. Now, Alaska just had its first case of the Brazilian variant pop up, and they're trying to figure out. This person hadn't traveled. They're wondering, how in the world did they get it? And so maybe more info coming up on that. But Dr. Fauci sits down with CNN and talks about the vaccine and several implications from that. He may even talk a little bit about masks.
That our viewers should appreciate is that the vaccines that we are currently distributing now, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines, work very well against the UK variant, the 117. So the better we do at getting vaccine into people's arms as quickly and as expeditiously as possible, that will be another important tool against preventing this additional spike that we want to make sure does not happen with the UK variant.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about vaccines. New research I know you've seen from Israel and Canada suggests that even one shot of the Pfizer vaccine can provide 85 to 90% protection. And the UK is delaying some of its second doses up to 12 weeks. Can you explain to Americans why the U.S. isn't adjusting its strategy when millions of them who want a vaccine, number one, can't get one?
Well, Dan, it's a good question, but the answer is that we want to do things based on the science. First of all, there are two scenarios. The one you're talking about the Pfizer giving one dose and having a good degree of protection versus what they're doing in the UK. So let me very briefly explain both. The Pfizer situation, where they gave a vaccine and after a period of time at 15 to 28 days, they had good protection. What we don't know, and this is the risky business about it, we don't know how durable that effect is going to be. We know for sure that when you give a prime with the Pfizer, followed by a boost 21 days later, that you get a 94 to 95% efficacy. And the difference between the level of antibodies after one dose versus two doses is about tenfold higher. And that is really important because when you have that high a degree comparable to the single dose alone, that's the cushion that you would like to have when you get a variant that isn't as well protected against by the antibodies induced by the vaccine, but you have enough level to be able to prevent at least severe disease. So the science points directly towards continuing with what we know about from the clinical trial. Now, we always keep an open mind to continue to look at data and make decisions based on the evidence and the data. Very quickly, the situation with the UK, a bit different because they're talking about an entirely different vaccine platform. They're talking about a vaccine that was developed using a chimp adeno vector as opposed to the mRNA. So they really are not comparable when you talk about the duration that you'll wait before you get the second dose when you're talking about Pfizer or Moderna, which is what we're using here in the United States.
That's a really important explanation because there are a lot of people confused about it. Let's talk about schools. Dr. Fauci, the administration says that schools should open in person as long as they are following the five steps from the CDC, like social distancing.
By the way, we're listening to CNN interview with Dr. Fauci about the new variant you just heard in school openings. I want to get his thoughts on this, and then we'll bounce back to live, Rick and I.
That should be open in person?
You know, I mean, obviously, if it's a very difficult situation to get an absolute definitive answer. What the CDC has tried to do is look at the risks that you have and try, if you follow the CDC guidelines, to get the children back in school, at least with hybrid, and maybe even when you actually have an increased spacing with them, that you can get it in what's called a decreased capacity. If you do the four or five things that the CDC recommends, the bottom line goal that I think people need to remember is that, and I've said this way before the CDC guidelines came out, that the default position is to do whatever you can, as best as you can, to get the children back to school with safety concerns for the children and for the teachers and the educational personnel. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what the president is talking about getting those K to 12 schools open within the first 100 days. And that's what we want to do.
Yeah. And so for administrators, superintendents, teachers listening to you right now, what is your advice to them? Should they push the boundaries more than they are? Because there's a lot of frustration out there that the CDC guidelines are, as you explained, they're pretty clear, but the schools are dragging their feet.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, the situation on the ground, with the teachers are going to make their decisions and the schools are going to make their decisions. The CDC gives guidelines. If you follow the guidelines, I think it will go a long way to be able to get the children back to school in the safest way as you possibly can. One of the things that comes up is that we'll be doing more and more of, and I think these are things that are important to put into the mix of the consideration, is that teachers clearly should be prioritized among those essential personnel to get mm-hmm. vaccinated. I don't believe that it should be a sine qua non that if they're not vaccinated, they should not go back. I believe we should prioritize them and get as many vaccinated as we possibly can. The other thing that is going to relate very, very closely to what you've said just a moment ago is if you look at the number of infections in the community, they're coming down at a very, very rapid, steep decline, mm-hmm. which means very quickly as we get into the next week or so, Dana, you're going to see more areas getting into the yellow and then the blue zone.
It's huge. And that's Dr. Fauci. Now, is he still the head of CDC? Did Biden keep him or did he retire? I don't know. I wonder. It doesn't say. Sure. And it doesn't say in that. Yeah. Hey, listen to this. Anchorage Press has an article. In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, what great movie. Director Quentin Tarantino had Bruce Lee warn a stuntman played by Brad Pitt, "My hands are registered as lethal weapons." I remember the scene. Speaking from Alaska during a virtual congressional resources hearing earlier this month, Representative Don Young uttered a similar line about his fists of fury. The article reads, "I go back to history talking about weapons. I happen to serve in Korea," Young said, "and I was well trained in how to kill somebody with my hands." Young's 87, and that was like 60 years ago, 50 years ago. The ADN, or strike that, the Anchorage Press article says the bizarre post is reminiscent of Young's claim in 2014 before a campaign debate with challenger Forrest Dunbar. Young said, quote, "Don't you ever touch me. Don't ever touch me. The last guy who touched me ended up on the ground dead." It's also reminiscent, the article reads, of Young's decision 45 years ago to appear before a committee with four fingers of his right hand in a steel leg hold trap, a gimmick to show that traps are humane. He took his fingers out of the trap when his hand began to turn blue after 20 minutes. I'll post this article on the Tom Anderson Show Facebook page. Only in Alaska with Don Young, who is the longest serving congressman, I think, in American history at 87. He got in, what, in his 30s, I want to say, and he's been in a long time.
50 yeah, I can years. Always just picture him coming out of the chambers one time,
yeah,
plowing through a bunch of reporters.
And grabbed that guy's hand and hurt him.
Yeah, just crazy. I thought, who is this guy? Because I didn't know about him until I moved here. I didn't pay attention. The first image I see is him plowing through a bunch of people. Get out of my way. Wow, man. Take a nap.
Yeah. No, he's a real gem. Okay. 28 minutes after the hour. We have two segments ahead. If you want to join us, phone lines are open. 357-5868. From Anchorage to the Valley and every place online at TomAndersonShow.com. KVNT's 1020 AM. I always got to remind you of our station identifier, 1020 AM and 92.5 FM. Good morning, Tom Anderson Show. Dilly Blow.
This is the Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live from the KVNT studios, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday.
34 minutes after the hour, gotta listen to a little Prince when Chris plays him. I was never a fan of his. I thought he was an odd guy. Looking, acting, his music, even this is kind of weird. It sounds like it's out of the movie The Wiz or something.
I had missed his kind of the launch of his career. I was so busy in life at the time, but then I'd heard it a few times. I thought he was brilliant in regards to some things where he just, kind of like Michael Jackson, kind of reinvented pop. Just the his abilities. I looked at Prince similarly, but he was very odd. Just some weird things. Even his stage presence, the videos that he would do. I'm like, man, what is he promoting here? This is odd.
Yeah, boy, we've got some interesting stories. One of them, do you remember? Let's go to local and let's look at the communications director, Anchorage Police Department. They had some Wednesday. I've never followed
it. Not to do on Wednesday. It was where I think cops or people within the police department could share real life incidences. And then here's what you shouldn't do type thing. And then started getting a lot of negative comments, some naysayers and people pointing out and saying, oh, I don't think that's right. Or, hey, how could you talk about that? Or you're making that up. So there was a lot of criticism. And KTUU brings us, or Alaska's news source talks about the fact the page is coming down, but there were people challenging those stories.
Anchorage Police Department is ending its weekly What Not to Do Wednesday social media campaign. The announcement comes amid criticism from some members of the community and our investigative team's efforts to verify the truthfulness of the posts. Daniela Rivera joins us now in studio with new claims about the series from APD today. Daniela.
Well, APD has been publishing these narratives on Facebook on Wednesdays for more than 3 years, presenting them as facts to the community. We've been trying to verify whether the events described in the posts happened as police say they did by requesting public records and information and asking police to have an open conversation about this with us on camera. APD has not released the public information we asked for, denied repeated interview requests, and has announced they're now ending the social media campaign. In the last month, two of the posts in particular struck a nerve with community members who raised concerns that APD appeared to be making light of serious issues facing Alaskans, domestic violence and addiction, and mocking people experiencing those issues. 3 weeks ago, APD defended the campaign and sent a statement telling us, "These stories are based on real events over the span of several years. We also may use a combination of different events and stories at our own discretion."
I think there needs to be a standard that whatever they post is fact. It's not misinformation. It's not embellished. It's not made up stories. That is propaganda. And the community is paying for it.
In a lengthy post to the community today, APD insists the events, the situations, and the circumstances we told were real. It did happen. Police also claim the dialogue about ending What Not to Do Wednesday started months ago, saying What Not to Do Wednesday was going to end. We always knew it. That was the plan. A few months ago, we started the dialogue again about retiring What Not to Do Wednesday after seeing a small increase in negative feedback. While police acknowledged that people were hurt by some of their words, the post did not offer an apology. They did write to those who supported the campaign, "From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Thank you so much for understanding what Not to Do Wednesday was all about and for welcoming us every week." APD did not respond to another request for an interview today. They continue to refuse to identify the employee paid to write and produce these posts over the years. And our public records request asking for a case number and other public information associated with their controversial post from February 3rd has been pending now for 14 days. We'll let you know what we find out when APD responds.
Remember? Oh, boy. I tell you, I bet Chief Justin Dahl is happy to retire. There's always something. And, you know, I talked with my dad about that when he was head of the state troopers. None of this occurred, right? Their cell phones were only for law enforcement. And computers were used, but with a monochrome screen back in the 80s, not with, you know, we had Atari. Not that cops play games, but I mean, we didn't have AI with voice and Siri and Amazon, you know, security cameras and all this stuff is so new. Facebook, and the biggest, elephant in the room. Someone going up to a cop and they're auditing the cop. And what they do is, I watch it on Facebook all the time, and it really makes my blood boil. These guys go up, I think instigating, poking, and they go to a police department where it doesn't say private property. It just says police personnel. And it doesn't say police personnel only. It might say, like, you know, law enforcement vehicles park here. So he's up with a camera and he's videotaping, and cops come up and he says, you know, he has the memorized line. You know, I have a right constitutionally to be here. There's no statute. In fact, I don't have to speak to you. What's your name? Not going to tell you. Let us see your ID. I don't have to show you. Am I being detained? No. Then get the F away from me, he says. And he keeps videotaping their cars and in, and he's on their property. And then they all kind of watch him. And I get mad. It's like, why is that guy doing that? And I guess because he can. Now, you're going to say, what that got to do with this story? My point is, we're in a different, sorry to use the word again, culture, where either the police can make jokes, or the public can poke at them.
Well, would you respond? So they keep, you know, the thing I had an issue with here is Alaska's news source, God bless them, but they keep saying, we've reached out and reached out. We've waited for 2 weeks and nobody's replied. Well, why would you reply if everything you say potentially leads to your cancellation? In other words, you're going to be held accountable to some new rule that has never existed.
That's or a exactly perception, or a public perception. Yep, yeah. Yeah.
You started this website to crush people who are trying to find a new life after domestic abuse. That wasn't why they started it at all. I'm not defending anything.
Sure.
But it's hard to speak to something when you know anything you say will lead to your cancellation or vilification. In other words, you're just going to pay dearly through the nose because you don't agree with everything we say, so we're going to cancel you.
Yeah. No, that's what happens, and it doesn't seem to desist. It's continuing, and it's getting worse and worse and worse in the legislative circle, in the assembly circle, online group circles. By the way, online groups are not always nice. You know that. I was picked on a while back. I mean, some of these are very vitriolic, and these cowards that are on these groups that, you know, don't talk to you face to face. Or if they do, they're going to go to jail because, what, they're going to bring a gun or try to fight you? That's illegal. So, I mean, we're in a different day, and you got to be careful, and you got to watch your words within reason, but you also have to have the courage, in my humble opinion, to say what you mean and say what you're thinking and have the ability to do that in a debate. Okay, you have a story about the stimulus relief.
Yeah, what's happening out there? And looks like McCarthy says, you know what, this policy is actually so corrupt, and he exposes it.
House Democrats plan to vote on that massive $1.9 trillion relief plan. That'll be tomorrow. GOP lawmakers, including our next guest, fighting back against the pork-filled bill, which includes funds for museums, high-speed rail projects. Silicon Valley, of course, is the place, and a bridge in New York for Chuck Schumer. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy joins us now. Kevin, you know, the last relief bill got 92 votes in the Senate. You've had three other bills, rescue plans. It's got bipartisan support. Why does this one not have any?
Because this one wasn't even worked together. This one is not a bill that would focus on, which Republicans want to, about putting us back to work, back to school, back to health. This bill is actually too costly, too corrupt, and too liberal. Less than 9% of this bill goes to defeating this virus. Less than 9%. We have $1 trillion still sitting out there that's already been appropriated. The Democrats last night just blocked for the third time the $64 billion that is sitting there that hasn't been used to go to open schools. And the money in this bill, it won't even get to the schools till next year, 95% of it. It's almost like they want to force schools to stay closed. And then they reward the states that will stay closed. I mean, I watched that interview in California for that young business owner that she's just crying of what Gavin Newsom has done to her. This bill would actually reward California and New York to stay closed over those states that actually opened up.
And I'm sure you know that you lead the nation in deaths, and you also are arguably the number one most lockdown state in the country. With no light at the end of the tunnel, and Adam Carolla got into a bit of a death match with the Los Angeles Teachers Union, because he said a study came out. Only 1% of transmission happens in schools. He says, you're cowards. Go back to work.
Yeah, go back to work. That's Kevin McCarthy, who's a representative congressman from California, and Brian Kilmeade. Oh, boy. You can go to the Tom Anderson Show website, TomAndersonShow.com, and you can play the podcast. We'll have this one up first hour, second hour, late afternoon. So stay with us, my friends. One segment ahead, 357-5868 if you want to join us. Marky Mark, right here on the Tom Anderson Show.
This is the Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live from the KVNT studios, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday.
48 minutes after the hour. Tom Anderson Show, last segment, then Charlie Kirk is up. If you're hungry, go to Donut King right now. If you're in the valley, center of town in Wasilla on Main Street, Donut King, the Shoemakers, cranking it out since, what, I think 5 a.m. this morning, and they have their, they used to have their biscuits and gravy, Rick. Now they've segued into the eponymous breakfast sandwich in all its glory.
And burritos.
Don't breakfast burrito. Yeah. I said sandwich. I think that too.
I would have been hitting the brakes on the old El Camino to turn around and go to Donut King, as you talked about it.
And get some warm coffee.
Slid a little ways. How That's are the roads right. on your way in this morning? Were they pretty slick?
They were great. Snow? Yesterday they were slippery. Your first day back. Today they were fine.
Interesting. The PW early this morning was really slick. It was still snowing at the time.
Palmer Wasilla Highway, for those of you in Anchorage.
Yeah, those of you wondering where paradise is.
That's right.
Come on out. A giant row of weed shops await you.
They're all over these cannabis shops. Don't move out here for that, please. By the way, speaking of things to do and things not to do, we played Zach Fields from Must Read Alaska and his comment about Sarah Rasmussen's skirt. Reading an email, but still inappropriate. You want to talk about the king of inappropriate? Right now, the poster child is Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is the darling to media circles who are unethically not reporting on this. Some are. Of course, they lean conservative. You want to talk about fair and balanced? Right now, Fox News is the pinnacle of that. And the CNNs and some of these others are not, Rick. They're just not.
Yeah, they're silent on this. These allegations that have come out, substantial allegations, and Fox brings us up to date on the latest.
And we'll begin with this Fox News alert. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is now facing calls for a second investigation after a former top aide accused the embattled governor of pervasive sexual harassment. Lindsay Boylan says Cuomo kissed her on the lips without her consent and once suggested they play strip poker and more. Now, five New York state senators are calling for the state's attorney general to investigate the claims. And just a short time ago, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio joined the calls for a probe.
These allegations are really disturbing. Let's be clear about that. They're really disturbing. We have to, as New Yorkers, we got to take this seriously. We need a full and independent investigation. I want to emphasize the word independent. This kind of behavior, if it's true, is unacceptable.
Cuomo's accuser, Boylan, writing a blog, quote, Andrew Cuomo abused his power as governor to sexually harass me, just as he had done with so many other women, and that he created a culture within his administration where sexual harassment and bullying is so pervasive that it is not only condoned, it's expected. Cuomo's office denies Boylan's allegations and says they never happened. Meanwhile, Republicans on the House Oversight Committee are urging Democrat Chair Carolyn Maloney of New York to subpoena Cuomo to testify on allegations his office covered up the nursing home death toll. This is the other scandal rocking right now against this governor. This comes after Cuomo's directive to send COVID patients to those facilities after hospital stays.
How quickly arrogant, manipulative, self-righteous, borderline narcissist leaders fall. Is there an irony there, or is it to be expected? We see it time and time and time again. The judgers, the finger pointers, the better than thous, the know-it-alls, You know that term, know-it-all. Governor Cuomo was horrible, relentless against Trump. We're doing the greatest things here, and we're above reproach, he said. Well, the nursing home fatality statistics, they shout otherwise, my friends. And now these sexual harassment allegations and others stepping forward. Inappropriate. If you want to pick on Rudy Giuliani, go ahead. But be fair and square with Cuomo. Remember Elliot Spitzer? Was he the governor of New York? He was the one that had the high-end hookers and wore the dress socks up to his knees, remember? Elliot Spitzer.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife stayed with him because he's a trust fund kid and big money, of course. It's not, you know, I mean, you never can read the minds of people, but you can kind of see where the money is and where spouses stick with each other, unless they can disconnect and get some of the money. The times we live. And I look back, remember in history class, learning about Middle Ages and kings, France, England, all the debauchery. Or you look back further, the Mayans, the Incans, you think they were all structured and perfect? Nope, you look back earlier. Egyptian days, Roman days, you look back earlier, Greek days, you don't think this crap happened? Then it was worse. Then you could just have a finger point and you're beheaded or raped or decapitated in public or bled to. I mean, I look at some of the crap that went on in the Aztec world, more recent than the Greek world, and not to get too heady here in history. But Rick, I mean, you're the biblical scholar. You're the doctoral degree holder and pastor. Stuff like this has been going on for a long time, hasn't it? The Cuomos of the world are not new, are they? I'm sure it was way worse when there was no media scrutiny. Could you imagine when you were a king or a dictator or a pharaoh or a Caesar that had no accountability? You could do whatever you wanted, you know? Now at least there's scrutiny. That I look at media as good and bad, don't you? Some of it's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got all these sound bites and video bites of, like, for instance, if I had a few hours on my hands, I could literally go back and piece together everything Governor Cuomo said early on about this virus, and we don't need your stinking help,
nope.
President.
Nursing homes are doing just fine.
We don't need all your care. We don't need your machines. And then they're suddenly saying, we didn't get it. We need 38,000 machines or we're all dead.
And yet look at how remarkable, how amazing we've controlled the virus from my leadership. So de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, doesn't like him and just took a punch at him. Remember, they're same party. So Democrats, we're seeing some implosion. There's an ebb and flow, bro. People accuse the Republicans of that. You're going to see the Democrats. You think AOC and Biden get along? Or Ilhan Omar from Minnesota and Vice President, what's her name? I already forgot her name.
Harris.
Yeah, they don't get along.
Yeah, so. And you know these things, there's a lot of pressure out there because first, when the Biden administration took office, they decided, let's say we inherited a mess. There was no plan in place. There was no stockpile of vaccines.
Which isn't
all
true.
All lies.
Yep, all lies.
And then saying, we will have 100 million out in the first 100 days. And then they start backtracking. Well, what we meant was. And so now they're all pointing fingers at each other.
And guess what else is a headline? I know we're bouncing to Charlie Kirk here, but Rick, the other one is cages versus detention centers.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're using the same infrastructure they pointed at Trump using and abusing. And Trump's like, I inherited it from President Obama.
Yeah, he actually pointed out, he said, you're accusing me of building cages. No, these cages were all built during the Obama administration.
And they're detainment centers. I mean, they're not cages. And where do you put people when thousands upon tens of thousands upon over a year, 100,000s come over and Biden said, maybe Trump was right.
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't say that during the race.
No, they just say it by their actions.
Horrible. He's separating families. No, he was trying to clean up a mess left 4 years before him.
Yep. And that's where the hypocrisy, that's where I get sick of the media. I really do. Charlie Kirk is next up. What a show. I'm a huge fan of his now. Very thoughtful person and intellect. We're going to be back tomorrow, TGIF. I sure hope you enjoy your Thursday. Drive safe out there, and God bless.
Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live on KVNT 1020 AM and 92.5 FM, Alaska's conservative talk. Listen to Tom Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, online at TomAndersonShow.com. Enjoy your morning and keep it tuned right here on KVNT for our all-star talk show lineup.